Our work is to restart churches. We have started several Sunday schools throughout the country. And we know that if we are going to see a difference made in England, we have to reach the next generation. And that's what we're doing, especially with the children. So that is the ministry in England. I am going there, God willing. It is my plan to be there by the end of next summer. And I am currently on deputation, raising funds to be there full time as a missionary. And I'm very grateful for this church. I'm very grateful for my pastor, Pastor Lubin. I'm thankful that as I came here as a 15-year-old boy, I came and I heard the gospel. Everything started then. Everything that is good in my life has come from the gospel. I'm thankful for this church that has never compromised, that has never wavered. I'm thankful for the people here who have invested in my life. And for Pastor Lubin and for Pastor Barker who have taken time, who have invested in me personally. And I know that their labor is not in vain. And what is going on here works. What God is doing in this place works. He has done a real work in my life being here as a teenager. And for the young people who are here, I want to encourage you to be faithful to church. Be faithful to God's word. Be faithful to whatever it is that God is doing here. God is doing a real work here, and I'm very, very grateful to be a part of this church and to have this church as my sending church to go to the United Kingdom. Now let's get into a word of God. Would you please take the word of God with me and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and once you have found your place, would you please stand with me as we read the word of God together. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and once you have found your place, would you please stand with me as we read the word of God in reverence this morning. Second Chronicles chapter 20, we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is Engeid. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Let's jump down to verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And Father, I pray that your presence would be real among us today. I pray for anyone who may walk into this building who may not know Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that this would be the glad day of their salvation. And Father, I pray for the Christians who are here. I pray, Father, that we would be revived and encouraged. I pray that we will be built up as a result of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Do what you can only do, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in this passage of Scripture, we read of the nation of Judah, how it was told to King Jehoshaphat, who was the king over Judah, that there was a great multitude that was coming against them. The Bible tells us that the nation of Moab, and the nation of Ammon, and another nation were all coming together to fight against Judah. It's interesting because Judah was outnumbered. They did not have the resources to fight off this great army. They did not have the manpower to fight, and they found themselves in a time of trouble. And instead of allowing fear and anxiety to take over, the Bible tells us that King Jehoshaphat prayed. And the Bible tells us that he brought the entire country together to pray. And I'm thankful that despite what we may be going through, in times of difficulties, in times of trouble, we can go to God in prayer. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will of the Father, and it shall be done unto you. In the book of 1 John, it tells us, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And in the midst of trouble and in the midst of difficulties, we know that we have a God in heaven that delights to hear and answer our prayers. And as we study the prayer of King Jehoshaphat, I want to draw your attention to one verse. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark this towards the end of verse 12, where King Jehoshaphat says, neither know we what to do. At the end of verse 12, neither know we what to do, but notice this, but our eyes are upon thee. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you please mark that phrase where the Bible says, but our eyes are upon thee. And I want to ask you this morning how to look to God in times of trouble. How to look to God in times of trouble. They found themselves in trouble. They found themselves in a trial. They found themselves in a predicament in which they did not know what to do. They did not have the resources, but they realized that they had the God of heaven. And they said, but our eyes are upon thee. We know that in the Christian life, we face trials and we face storms. Peter put it this way. He said, count it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We know that either we are in a storm, we're entering a storm, or we're leaving a storm. Storms are natural in the lives of believers. But the real test of how we endure the storms is this thought, I believe. Are we looking to God in the midst of our storm? Or are we looking to our circumstances? King Jehoshaphat said, you know, we can't look to our circumstances. We don't have the resources. The only one that we can look to in the time of the storm is God. And today I want to show you what does it mean to look to God in the midst of a storm. Notice with me in verse 14. Now, if we are going to be people who look to God in the midst of storms, number one, we must be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Notice verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And notice this, came the Spirit of the Lord. In the midst of the congregation, after this declaration was made of how they did not have the resources, they did not know what to do, but the only thing that they were doing was they were keeping their eyes upon God. Then the Spirit of God came in and was present among them, showing how if we are going to be people who look to God in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, in the midst of storms, in the midst of difficulty, we have to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We know that the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit came and took residency inside of us. If you're here today and you are a believer, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. But that does not mean that we are always filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many people have this idea that the Holy Spirit is just some kind of force or is just some kind of power. I want to submit to you this morning that the Holy Spirit has force, the Holy Spirit has power, but the Holy Spirit is a person. You can only grieve a person. You can't grieve a force. And the Holy Spirit is a person that is living inside of us. And if you and I are going to be people who look to God in the midst of our circumstances, who look to God in the midst of our difficulties, we must be people who are continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be people who do not grieve the Holy Spirit, who do not live out in sin, who are not worldly, so that the Spirit of God can fill us. Even as we have seen in this passage how the Spirit of God came and was present among the people. I've taken great comfort in the book of Zephaniah lately. In chapter 3, I believe verse 17, where the Bible says, "The Lord in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, and he will rejoice over thee with singing." The Lord in the midst is mighty. They realized that the might was not in themselves, but rather the might was in God. And I want to submit to you this morning that the might to deal with your difficult circumstances, the might to deal with your trials are not in yourselves. It is not in me, but rather it is in the Lord. So if we're going to be people who are filled with the, who are going to be people who look to God in the midst of trials, we must be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be people who look to God in the midst of difficult circumstances, we must be people who dismiss all fear and discouragement. Notice with me in verse 15, and he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." So he said, despite what you're going through, despite the conflict, now the enemy, they were still coming. The children of Israel were still outnumbered. And God said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this multitude. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said it well. He who counts the stars in the sky and knows them by their name is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as though you were the only creature he has ever created or the only person that he has ever loved. You can trust God. Oftentimes, Satan gets us distracted. I believe that he is in the distracting business. I believe that he gets us distracted off of God and on our circumstances. I remember when Peter, in the book of Matthew chapter 14, when Peter walked on water to meet the Lord Jesus in the midst of the storm, and he kept his eyes on Jesus, and as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But what happened at the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus and he put his eyes on the storm? The Bible tells us that he started to sink. And I believe that's true with us. When we take our eyes off of Jesus in the storms that we deal with, we begin to sink. So this morning, I'm here to tell you, take your eyes off of your circumstances. Take your eyes off of your trials and put your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. The very definition of faith is found in the book of Hebrews, and is this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Believing that Christ is able to do all things. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 32, the Lord asked a very interesting question. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" I want to ask you that. Your circumstances, your difficulties, your trials, your storms, your trouble, I want to ask you a question. Is that too hard for God? Jeremiah rightly answered, and he said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast created the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." This morning, there is nothing too hard for God. There is no trial too difficult for God. And we know that Christ causes us always to triumph. You know, God may not answer our prayers the way that we think, But the Bible tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We, as God's people, have no need to fear. I take comfort in when Satan wanted to tempt Job, that before he was able to do anything, he had to go to the one that was in control of all things. And he had to get a permit. God is in control. And that's why the Bible tells us that he did not foolishly charge God. God's in control. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Because he is in control. Nothing just happens. We serve a God that is sovereign, that is above all things, and that is in control of even your circumstances, even my circumstances. I also want to draw your attention to this. That in the midst of trouble, when we pray, God doesn't just answer our prayers merely for our convenience. God answers prayer for one reason and for one reason alone, and that is for the glory of God. Why am I dealing with what I'm dealing with? For the glory of God. Why am I struggling with my finances? For the glory of God. Why am I dealing with the situation in my home? Why am I dealing with the situation at work? I want to submit to you that it is for the glory of God. In Psalm 50, verse 15, he says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Do you find yourself in trouble? Are you in the midst of a difficult circumstance? I want to submit to you that God said, in the day of trouble, call upon me, and I will, and thou shalt glorify me. I take comfort in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, where he says, "And call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So we see in our passage of scripture here that if we are going to look to God in times of trouble, we must dismiss all fear and discouragement. And we have seen this in verse 15 when he said, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." He said, don't be afraid because of what you're dealing with. Don't be afraid because this great multitude is coming against you. And the reason why he said that was because if you continue to look at verse 17, he says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." And he continues the exhortation not to be fearful. And I take great comfort in this, that whatever it is that I'm dealing with, I can have faith and I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to be afraid. You know, fear, the Bible tells us, is a spirit. That's why the scriptures tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So our troubles and our trials often follow us to sleep. They often follow us up and wake us up in the morning, and they're with us throughout the day. And Satan delights in taking the joy away from God's people and having us worry, having us to be fearful. But rather, God says, look unto Jesus. To keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in doing so, that is how we are able to overcome. That is how we are able to have the victory. And this is the victory, even our faith. So I ask you this question this morning. Are you dealing with a trial today? Are you dealing with some kind of trouble? Are you dealing with a storm in your life? May we take our eyes up off of the storm. And may we put them upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as David said, he said, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Think about David's circumstance. He's running for his life People are chasing him. They want him killed. And he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Perhaps you're here this morning and you need to lift up your eyes off of your circumstance and put them on God. Perhaps you're here this morning, you need to take your eyes off of your circumstance and lift it upon the word of God. This is where we can have faith, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're in a difficult circumstance, if you're in a trial, if you're in a time of testing, you need to keep your eyes upon the word of God. The word of God is God's revelation of himself to us. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The Bible tells us to allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. And if we're going to be people who look to God in the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulties, number two, we've seen that we must dismiss all fear and discouragement. Next, I want to show you this. If we are going to be people who look to God in the midst of trouble, we must face our trouble in faith, believing that God will give us the victory. We must face our troubles in faith, believing that God has already given us the victory. Notice with me in verse number 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Teoka. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. The enemies were still coming. The trouble did not go away. Yet the man of God stood in front of the nation of Judah and said, believe in the Lord your God. Must face it. We must believe. We must walk into it, believing that God has already given us the victory. The outcome may not come at the way that we think it should, but we know that all things work together. We know that all the promises of God are yea and amen in him. We know that we have a confidence that if we ask anything in his name, he will hear us. We are able to stand upon the promises of God. And we must face them, believing that God has already given us the victory. Many of the battles we face, the troubles we endure, are not for us to fight. They're not for us to fight. They're not for us to fret about. They're not for us to worry about. As God said, ye shall not need to fight. In verse 17, I want to draw your attention to a phrase here. Look with me in verse 17. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still. Stand still. You know, the only way we can stand still is by faith. The only way we can set ourselves is by faith. By believing God, we are able to stand still. If we are so cumbered about with worry and stress, we can't stand still. But it is all done by faith. Are you going through a trial this morning? Are you going through some kind of difficulty? My encouragement to you today is very simple. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not upon the storms. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, the children of Israel began to murmur against God and against Moses. They started to murmur because of the food. They said, we don't have enough bread and all of these things. And the Lord was very displeased with them. The Bible tells us that the Lord sent out fiery serpents. And many of the children of Israel died. Many did not. And then they prayed unto Moses. And they said, Moses, please pray to the Lord on our behalf. And Moses did so. The Lord instructed Moses to take the serpent and to put it upon a pole. And everyone who looked up at the serpent lived, signifying how the Lord Jesus Christ would one day be lifted up. And all those who look to him for salvation will live. I ask you, have you looked to Jesus Christ for salvation? You see, the message this morning is very simple. It's for the believer. The same message for the believer is the same message for the unbeliever. Look to Jesus. If you're here today and you're not saved, look to Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners. We have sinned against God. And in our sinful state, we cannot save ourselves. Our best works, the Bible tells us, are as filthy rags. And the only way that you can be saved is by looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And if you're here today and you are saved, you are a child of God, you are going through a difficult circumstance, the message is simple. It's the same message. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We do not know what to do. I know we face that sometimes. We don't know how we're going to get through this. We don't know how things are going to work out. And yet, we can keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I also lastly like to show you one last thing concerning keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of trials and in the midst of storms. Now, notice this with me. When we find ourselves dealing with a difficult circumstance, when we find ourselves in trouble and in trials and in storms, our first priority should be worship. Our first priority should be worship. Look with me in verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The enemies were still coming. The trouble had not gone away, yet they were worshiping the Lord. When we find ourselves in trouble, when we find ourselves going through difficulties and trials in this life, we must be those that worship the Lord even more. We must be people who read the Word of God and pray and are faithful in church, are spending our quiet time alone with God every day, even as the children of Israel, how they bowed their head to the ground and began to worship the Lord. They were acknowledging the one that was able to do all things. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The word able means to have the ability to act according to one's will. God has the ability to act according to his own will. He is a God that is able. He is able to do the greatest of things. He's able to save your unsaved spouse. He is able to bring a wayward child back. He is able to start a church in the middle of Elmont and do all of these wonderful things. He is able to do all things. Notice how he has saved your soul. What a miracle. God is able. And because God is able, because God is worthy, this morning, may we look to him. May we keep our eyes off of our circumstances. And may we look to the perfect word of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to stop to give you glory and praise for your goodness. We realize, Father, that thou art an able God. And Father, we are sinful people. I pray, Father, you would continually have mercy upon us. And for those who are going through trials and storms, I pray, Father, that thou would work mightily in their lives. May we all be people who look to you in the midst of our storms and in our trials. I pray for anyone who may be here, Father, who may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Dear Lord, I pray that even now the Spirit of God would work in their hearts, would convict them of their sins and show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we continue on with this service, do what you can only do, and we'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. We can keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I just want to just give a simple invitation. I want to give folks an opportunity to respond to whatever it is the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about this morning. What a great, challenging sermon regarding the need to look to Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's someone that's come in this morning and you've gone to church, you've read your Bible, maybe you've tried to do the best you can, but you've never truly looked to Christ alone for your salvation. You're not sure if you're born again, if you're on your way to heaven. You have some doubts about that. If you're here this morning, we'd love to pray with you and show you from the Bible what it means to be saved. Is there anyone at all, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around, that would lift your hand up and say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I need to be saved. I'm not sure. Please pray for me. That's my need today." Would you lift your hand up? Just lift your hand up this morning. We'll pray for you. So, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I were to die right now, if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Please pray for me." I wonder how many of God's people that would profess that we are saved, we have looked to him in salvation, but we recognize the need to look to him in various circumstances of our lives, whether it's trials, whether it's needs that we have. How many would say, "Please pray for me. God spoke to me about the need to continue looking unto Jesus. God spoke to me this morning." Would you lift your hand? What a blessing. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to have just an old-fashioned invitation, opportunity. Just come to this altar. Just commit yourself to the Lord and just commit to looking to him, to following him, to obeying him, no matter what the circumstances tell you to do. Sometimes as he preached, as he said, we don't know what to do, but we learn to look to Jesus, learn to look and rely upon him. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Lord, would you have your way? Lord, you deal with us as your people. Help us, Father, to look to you and nowhere else. As the pianist begins to play softly, you come to this altar and pray and do business with the Lord. You come now and tell the Lord, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm unable on my own. Lord, I can't go anywhere else but to you." You come to this altar, you pray and seek God's face. Would you come now as the pianist plays? If you're not saved, don't leave the same way you came in this morning. Don't leave with doubts and concerns and fears. Don't leave playing games, playing church with God. Settle it once and for all that you need to be saved. Let's pray together this morning. Is he able in your life, in your circumstances, or have you started to doubt? He said, "There's nothing too hard for me." Are you looking at your circumstance as an opportunity to bring God glory? All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for all that he does. Lord, we just thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can look to you. Lord, that you're far above all of our circumstances, our problems, Lord. All things are under your feet. All things are under your control. You alone are sovereign. And so, Father, we look to you. We commit all of our circumstances, our lives to you, because there's nowhere else we can turn. Lord, help us to develop that habit of faith, of relying upon you, turning to you. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us not to be overwhelmed. Guard us against the wicked sin of unbelief. And Lord, may you be glorified. Lord, everything you allow into our lives is for a purpose. It's for your name to be exalted. And Lord, would that purpose come to fruition? And Lord, as even I'm thinking, Lord, of as we look at the circumstances facing our nation, our churches in America, the spiritual condition looks very dark. But Lord, you're able. Lord, you've done it before. We look to you to do it again. Here in America, in the United Kingdom, in many of those nations that have turned their backs on you, Lord, that you would restore faith once again. Revive us again, we pray, Lord. And so, Lord, thank you again for all that you've shown us and dealt with us about this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.